Namaste and welcome. These get recorded for people that can't be here. So we're now starting to put them online so people can download the satsangs. And for the new people, we've got, 31, 32 now? 31? 33 or 34. Oh, we've got 33 or 34.
To catch up on.
So there's enough to keep you busy for a while. If you're interested in any of them, you can always come over, and we have them here. You can kind of go through and go ahead and play them and sit and listen and whatever. And if you have questions, then that's fine too. So your question was, your topic was?
Well, I just wanted to hear what you had to say about Diksha.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we do offer Diksha here, and Diksha consists of receiving Shaktipat. And when you receive the Shaktipat, you have mantras that are infused in your system. You're given mantras to do. Okay? So then with that, there's a commitment to doing meditation every day and doing the mantras every day. And then remaining in touch with what's happening, how things are unfolding for you. And as it continues to unfold for you, so you can continue to get guidance through the process. So the process, when you decide to take Diksha, this is, you know, a lot of people come here, they've already had in the midst of the process of Kundalini awakening. So for people that are making the choice to go into it, it's another thing. Just understand that it's a path, and it's one that takes dedication to go through. Not the easiest path, but what happens when Kundalini starts to activate, it puts all the stuff up in your face where you have to deal with it. Whereas if you're doing another path, it'll, you know, you take your time doing whatever. You may look at it or you may not. With this, there's really no option. It does bring things up for you to confront, to see that you are not the body, the mind, or these emotional things that we take the ego to be. So that's what basically the path is and what taking the Diksha is. Okay. Did you have any more questions about it?
Something I've been... Hello?
Yeah, it's on.
Something I've been thinking about is the effects of awakening on therapeutic issues or emotional traumas and that sort of thing, where they didn't bring up a Kundalini awakening in their wake, how it affects things in the past.
How does it affect things in the past? Well, I can tell you that the Kundalini awakening, what you experience there is different than you do from traumatic things. And I've gone through both. I had severe PTSD at one time. But the PTSD and the post-traumatic stress disorder and things can give you a jumping-off point for doing very serious self-inquiry, you know. So sometimes I think that it's almost kind of a beneficial for the path, because it does give you something really to start to question what is being held in place and why it's being held in place. What holds it in place? What gives it life? What gives it form? For me, that was really the big the big jump-off point, because here, going through all these traumatic flashbacks and all of this stuff that was taking place, finally one day I recognized, well, it's not here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If there's even one break, where did it go during that time? And if it's not there during that time, then really, how much substance reality does it have? Okay? So even just if you have just even a short break from it, then it can start that questioning, very, very deep questioning. And you see, well, what's holding it in place? Yeah, there was an event that happened, and, you know, multiple events, whatever the case is. But what's holding it in place now? who is really victimizing us? We're victimizing ourselves at that point over and over again. And the question is then why? So what is holding it in place? And what is mind? You know, you start looking, you know, this mind and this thing comes and goes. Well, when it's not in the mind, then where is it? When that thought is not there, then where is it? So how much reality does it have? And who holds it in place? We keep coming back to the, you know? Yeah. So actually, you know, it can give a jump-off point for very deep inquiry. But we have to be willing to finally stop running and saying, you know, you just don't understand my pain, you know? You know? We have to finally be willing to stop and really look at it. And then we can start cutting the knots and we can start, you know, cutting the hold that those things have.
Just to kind of keep the conversation scattered and to maybe involve some other people here, has anyone on the path that you are aware of encountered an addiction to cities or perfections or developing powers?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. And I think the cities come up really. They're almost like the tests. Well, what do you want? Do you want the reality? Do you want what's beyond that, or do you want to settle? Do you want to settle for the cubic zirconia rather than diamond? Yeah, it's glittering and it's wonderful and it's, you know, it's here. And then sometimes that only ingrains ego more. Do you really want to get beyond this, or do you want to settle for personal powers? And every sage will tell you, don't try. You can develop the powers in cities without Kundalini. You know, people develop psychic skills and stuff, but really what kind of happiness does it bring to their life? What kind of inner peace does it bring? I know a lot of psychics, and they're not peaceful. Okay. So, yeah, these things come up, and they come up on the path. But once again, they're just to show you that this, you know, the world and this reality is not what you take it. And that everything is quantum. It's, you know, wherever the mind is, and if your mind is there to develop cities, you might just well develop them, but to what end? So I think that, you know, some of us on the path, we get the cities and stuff, and then we're, you know, become entranced with them and play with them for a while and stuff, but then you eventually find out they haven't brought you any closer to realization. They haven't really enhanced anything, except for they're entertaining for a time. You know, but in the end, that's not what it's about. It may impress other people for a time. But the only way that having experienced the cities and things, I have to say that. I wouldn't want all the cities for what you get with realization. And then you don't need any of it. Then for the most part, they fall away, you know. Things take place around you, but there's no driving ego in place to want to make things occur, okay? People tell me, why don't you just manifest stuff? I go, well, in order to do that, you have to have the ego in place that wants to, you know, have the desire to, and you lose the desire to do that. And that type of loss of desire is not a bad thing because, you know, you just accept what's here, and it's wonderful the way it is. You don't need anything else. You just basically, you know, even with all the turmoil that's going on with, you know, oh, we've got to, you know, sell all this stuff off. And, you know, there's just so much confusion with that. But inside, there's just this steadiness that's there. You know, and you wouldn't trade that for anything. I mean, going through the path when all the cities were occurring, it didn't change the other stuff that was going on, like the depression and, you know, all of that, and the anxiety and the, you know, and the PTSD things and all of that. They were still in place. And here, all these powers are happening and everything. So the powers are not consistent with, you know, getting a hold on things. Okay. So yeah, my advice to people is always bypass that and go for witness state and go for self-inquiry and then break through that to realization, and that brings that liberation. For me, that realization took place in 99, and the PTSD, that, you know, the flashbacks ended at that point, and all of this, the depression ended at that point, all of those things, and none of it's come back. Okay? Which is not to say that sometimes, you know, in the interim period, the body might still react to a traumatic thing that would have been horrible flashbacks at that point, but mentally there's nothing. Gone. You know, that past attachment to that storyline or what you think makes up that persona and driving force, that ends. That ends. And it ends completely. Which is a good thing. So yeah, the path of Kundalini is not an easy path, but I say it gives a little bit more of an opportunity, because you can't just pick it up and put it down. Once it's begun, that's it. You're there, and you're there for the long haul. Okay. Rachel is over there, yeah. Dude, do we have any more questions or comments? Did that answer what you needed to hear? Okay, good. Do we have any more questions or topics today? Did you want to say something, Rich? Can we elaborate on that? You're good. Okay. Then that's it for satsang today. And we will go ahead and take a quick break, and then we will reconvene for meditation. Namaste, and thank you for coming.